ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 35
श्रीपिलायनवाचिपिलायनवाचिबुद्धव प्रलयहेतुरहेतुरस्याबुद्धव
प्रलयहेतुरहेतुरस्यास्वप्नजागरसुषुतत्महिष्या यस्वप्नजागरसुषुप्तिषु देहेन्द्रियासु हृदयानि चरन्ति येन सञ्जीवितानि तदवेदि परं नरेन्द्र
and manifested all the ingredients for the material creation.
And thus, at first, there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was for the purpose of creating the material universe. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana is mentioned here as Hetu, or the supreme cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation of the cosmic situation. Still, there is no cause of the Lord Himself. He is Ahetu, and expressed in the Brahma Samhita, Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. The Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes, and being the eternal absolute truth, He has no cause of Himself. The word Ahetu has also been explained by Srila Jiva Goswami to indicate that the Supreme Lord has His original form as Krishna in His own transcendental abode called Krishna Loka. Since Krishna is always engaged in His blissful pastimes in the company of His eternally liberated associate, He is aloof from the affairs of His world, which is created by this external potency known as Maya. Therefore, it is said, Jagrahe Purusham Rupam. The Lord expands Himself as Narayan and Vishnu to facilitate the gross illusions and gradual reflections of the conditioned soul. The Lord's aloofness from the material creation is also described in the Vedas. Na tasya karyam karmam cha vidyate. The absolute truth has nothing to do, since everything is done self-sufficiently by His multipotency. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that even though the Supreme Lord Krishna is ahetu or causeless and aloof from the cause of material creation, the Lord is also described in this verse as Hetu, or the ultimate cause of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the material manifestation, because He expands Himself as Paramatma, or the Super Soul, who acts as the prime mover of the cosmic manifestation. The word Ahetu may also be understood in another way. In Bhagavad Gita 7.5, the Lord says, Aparaya Sila Sanya Prakritim Vithima Para Jiva Bhutam Bhavaho Yeyedam Dhyayate Jagat. The condition you may read is Jiva Bhuta deserves engaged in gratification with the material senses, Manas Shastani Indriyani Prakritani Kashati. Thus, the creation of the material world becomes necessary. In fact, the material cosmic manifestation continues to exist because of the desire from the conditioned soul to exploit it. The government must create a prison to accommodate those citizens who are inclined to criminal activity. There is no need for any citizen to live in the obnoxious conditions of the prison, but because a certain portion of the population is inclined towards antisocial behavior, the prison becomes necessary. In a higher sense, the prisoners themselves can be considered a hetu, or the cause for the construction of the prison. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands His internal potency according to His own desire to increase the ananda, or transcendental bliss, of Himself and His pure devotees. But He manifests the material universe in response to the illicit desires of the conditioned souls to live a life of sense gratification in willful forgetfulness of Him. Therefore, the conditioned living entities themselves can be considered the hetu or cause of the material manifestation. The external potency of the Lord Maya, who is charged with the duty of material manifestation, is called Chaya, or the shadow of the Lord's internal potency. Srishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chaya Vayasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga. The Lord does not personally decide to manifest the shadow potency called Durga or Maya. The blissful spiritual plan eternally manifests contains the best possible facilities for the living entities who are part and parcel of the Lord. But the conditioned soul, rejecting the inconceivable eternal living arrangement the Lord has kindly provided, prefer to see their misfortune in the shadow kingdom called the material world. Thus, both Durga and the conditioned living entities may be considered the hetu or cause of the material manifestation. Since Lord Krishna is ultimately Sarva Karana Karana, the cause of all causes, He is to be known as the ultimate supreme cause. But how the Lord functions as the supreme cause of the material manifestation is described in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Upagrata Anumantascha. The Lord acts as overseer and servitor. The actual desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is stated very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharma Paritrajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. The Lord states that it is difficult to give up the shadow of the Maya and return to the actual substance, which is the eternal kingdom of God. Although various aspects of the Absolute Truth are being described, the Absolute Truth is ultimately one, as stated in this verse, Tat Avedi Param Narendra. King Nidhi inquired about Brahman, and now this verse says, Yat Sokra Jagara Susup Sishu Sat Bahicha. The Lord's alternate feature with his wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep, and his existence beyond these three mental states are understood to be manifestation of Brahman, the spiritual potency of the Lord. Finally, the statement, Dehendriyasu Hrudayani Charantiyena Sanjeevitani, can be understood to refer to the Paramatma feature of the Lord. When the Lord expands himself as Shirogachari Vishnu, the third of the three Vishnu features, and enters the heart of the ever-living entity, the gross and subtle organs of the body become enlivened for attaining the state of fruitive activity called karma. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the multifarious manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not compromise his supremacy as one without a second. The Absolute Truth is Paramatmyonatha, or the Lord of the spiritual sky, who appears as two-armed Shyamasundar, as four-armed, as eight-armed, or having 1,000 arms. In each aspect, his body is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge, Sajidananda Murti. He appears on earth as Vishnu Deva, and in the coastal ocean as Mahavishnu. He lies in the middle ocean as Shirogachari Vishnu, and rescues his helpless young devotees as Narasimha Deva. Appearing as Lord Ramachandra, he acts as a perfect king. And appearing as Krishna, he steals the heart of everyone, and especially of young, beautiful woman. All these features of the Lord are indicated by the word Narayana, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the word President indicates not only the official duties of the President, but his personal family life and long intimate friendships as well. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Su Bhagavan Swayam. When one transcends an official understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes to the superior cause of love of God, one can understand the Lord to be Krishna, the cause of all causes. The innumerable Vishnu expansions of the Lord are also understood to be plenary portions of Sri Krishna. Krishna Su Bhagavan Swayam. As the Lord Himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, these points have been explicitly clarified in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in opening verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Janmadhiti Yato Anjuve Idarata Sarpeshu. Om Ajnana Tivranandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुर्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते But there is no explanation where the initial substance, the initial the material ingredients comes from. There is no explanation to that because they don't know. Whereas when you approach the Vedic knowledge, it exactly gives the understanding that is Lord Brahma, who is the original, which is the secondary creator. He, in the first verse in Brahma Samhita, he says, Ishvara Paramam Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anad Ad Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. So he is the Adi. There are two things. One is he is Anadi and he is Adi as well. Anadi means he doesn't have any beginning. But at the same time, he is the beginning of everything else. Here also we saw the word Hetu. And the purport explains two words. One is Hetu and Ahetu. Hetu means cause and Ahetu means causeless. So Krishna is simultaneously cause as well as causeless. Because he is cause, because from him everything emanates. He is the cause of rest of the causes. And he is causeless because he doesn't have any cause of himself. There is no reason for him being present, or there is no cause behind him. It is only out of his sweet will that he is present. And all his activities are also because of his sweet will. There is no reason behind it. Recently, you know, a week back, actually I went for my graduation and I happened to meet one of the physicists. So I was just standing there. I went in around 10 minutes early. So I was just standing in the university and you know, I was in my gown and everything. So it was obvious that I was going to get graduated. So another guy came with the same dress, you know, the coat and the whole dress. And he came to me and I was in my devotional clothes. So I think that's the reason immediately he came to me and he started asking me, you know, what do you do? You know, how did you complete your degree? You know, what is your research topic? Stuff like that. So I explained, okay, I was in engineering, okay, so and so research I did, you know, I took this much time, etc., etc. And he also started sharing his experience. He said, look, I spent almost 4 years and I'm a physicist. And he's a high-end physicist. He's in theoretical physics. You know, theoretical physics means it is the most complicated. It is highly speculative, but at the same time, it is heavy, complicated mathematics. It's hard to understand. So he was explaining to me, you know, he was a particle physicist, researching on the mathematical model to describe the black hole. So he was into it. He was giving me the explanation, you know, how he was doing the research, you know, how was he coming up with the mathematical model, etc. And how sort of it explains, you know, some aspects of the black hole, you know, some part, how it becomes predictable, etc. And okay, it sounded interesting to me, and you know, just asked, you know, I said, you look, I'm a Hare Krishna, I'm a Hare Krishna monk now, look at my dress. Okay, so he said, oh, the first question he asked was, it means that you are not earning much. I said, no, I'm not earning anything actually, not much. Then he was a bit bewildered, and then he started again. He said, look, I am a physicist, so I am an atheist. That is the first statement. You know, I am a physicist, so I am an atheist. Okay, I said, okay, it's very interesting. So I asked him, okay, so what's your understanding about the whole thing? About your body, about the black hole, what's your understanding? So he, you know, he started in explaining, look, I never had to, you know, go through all these things. You know, I never had to worry about God. I never had to worry about, you know, the soul or whatever you're saying. I didn't have to think about any of these things. I just went through my school, I had a nice time, I graduated, I did my degree, I did my honors, I completed my PhD, everything went alright. So I never had to have a look at all these things. Why should I bother about all these things? Look, you know, I'm living nicely, you know, there is no problem as such. Man, on top of that, look at any mechanical object. There is a cause. Say, if you see a car working, you know, there are mechanical parts to the car, there is petrol in it, you know, you have the petrol, you have the ignition, okay, after the ignition there is a mechanical energy produced, and the car is working. In the same way, you know, anything, our body is a little more complicated, I agree. Still, there is nothing, you know, nothing you have to worry about. You know, it's just like, it's just a matter of, you know, just chemical combination. It's working. It's a machine. That's it. So why do you bother about all these things? So this was his argument. Okay. Then, I just basically presented, you know, what is the difference between body and soul. I started explaining, okay, of course, we have this body, that's fine. It's just like we have a car. But even for the car to work, there has to be a person behind it. It's true. Car has to work, there has to be some consciousness behind. A conscious entity has to be there behind. So I just explained, you know, the basic Prabhupada's argument. There was, you know, the basic explanation. What is body? What is soul? What is the difference? Without soul, how the body cannot function, etc., etc. Okay, so he heard all these things and he said, oh yeah, it's interesting. Actually, I have been to the temple. I have been to your temple. So I came once and I had a nice feast there. And also, I bought a Bhagavad Gita. So I said, oh, that's nice. You know, Mahaprabhu has sent the right person to me. Okay, because before going, I was praying, okay, anyway, I'm going. So let me pray to Mahaprabhu to send me someone to whom I can preach. So I was just standing and, you know, this person is just coming to me and he's asking me questions, you know. So it was really interesting. Then I explained further. Okay, after this explanation went through, then he said, look, the consciousness is not really coming from anything external, anything separate from the body. We have got the brain, you know. The consciousness ultimately has to develop from the brain. Because if you see the current scientific analysis, everything has to work to some people, not for the all, for to the some. The whole activity of the body is coming from due to the brain. We are the brain, you know, he doesn't have any brain. Means, you know, he cannot function properly, or he's not intelligent enough. But so this was his argument, next set of arguments he was putting forth. Then I explained, you know, there are so many, or at least a few experiments in the current modern scientific terms, which directly show that brain just functions, or it doesn't function by itself. There is some reason behind it. In other words, the intelligence can exist even without gray matter in the brain. Actually, I have read this point in Searching for Vedic India. It nicely gives the explanation of a student from University of Sheffield, how his brain was analyzed and found out that he doesn't have any 98% of his brain was no gray matter at all. So it was just filled with liquid, and still he had an IQ of 137, which is, you know, quite enormous, pretty good. And he was honors mathematics. So, you know, I gave this evidence showing, you know, the substance behind the consciousness is not just matter. There is something known as consciousness, and the source of that consciousness is the spirit soul, which is qualitatively different from the body. So he heard that, and, you know, still a bit, he tried a little bit argue regarding, you know, the difference between the dead and the living body. So I am just basically giving all the arguments, or few of the arguments Srila Prabhupada has provided, and I could see after each argument he was getting smashed. You know, I had no intention to smash him. You know, I was just trying to explain very simple, you know, as simply as possible. But each argument he was just, you know, just going behind, just like this, you know. And after the whole thing, he said, yeah, you know, it was really interesting. And I just think about it. And in between, he was a very good person. He read the whole Bhagavad Gita. Just to my surprise. And he said, look, I read the whole, that was another argument he was telling, you know, I read the whole Bhagavad Gita, but I didn't like the conclusion. Because, you know, the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita is about the war, and after the whole philosophy, Krishna is telling to Arjun, you fight. And not only that, Arjun is fighting and he's killing everyone. So, you know, this actually looks a bit anticlimax. You know, if you consider a religious system, it has to be like, you know, peace, you know, love and peace, so, you know, there shouldn't be any war. And after the whole philosophy, Arjun is fighting. So, how is it possible? So, I explained this. That's the reason I explained to you the whole, we are not the body, we are the soul. And there is much, much higher concept, much higher understanding than this. So he sort of accepted. He was, you know, he sort of, yes, I'll think about it, and, you know, I'll read it carefully. Like that. So, I was actually, one realization came to my mind when I was talking to him was how powerful the argument Srila Prabhupada provided. You know, it was, you know, the arguments are not, you know, not on a, you know, rocket science or anything, But here is a person who has done his PhD and spent 4 years, and you know, he can't respond to any of this argument. He's just, you know, just getting smashed. You know, so for anyone to preach, we don't have to do anything, you know, just read Srila Prabhupada's book, understand the basic concept, meditate on it, and if someone asks, just simply explain the basic things. That is good enough. But, you know, when you go to, if you have to speak to a scientific word, you might have to use some jargon, that's all. To show that, you know the terminology, that's all. But the basic arguments are exactly the same, you know, the idea what we are putting forward is the basic stuff. So in that sense, you know, the Bhagavad Gita is very simple to explain. It's not too complicated. So here comes the next point, that is about the consciousness. When we talk about the consciousness, there are 3 states in which we perceive our consciousness. In one sense, actually, we are sitting in the temple room. And our senses, our eyes, our ears, these are all our gateways. But actually what we experience in one sense is our own consciousness. All other inputs are coming in different directions. The sensory inputs, the inputs from the mind and the intelligence. However, ultimately what we really experience is only our consciousness. That is the reason, according to our consciousness, we see different things. What we see is an end product of our consciousness. If we have a higher consciousness, we see the same object in a different way. And if we have a lower consciousness, we see the same object in a totally different way. So according to our consciousness, we perceive the whole world. And how we perceive, what are our 3 different states? One is wakefulness. That is called jagrat. Jagrat.
Yeah, jagrat.
That is the wakefulness. Wakefulness means we are supposed to be awake now. In a Bhagavatam class, we can be wakeful or may not be. But we are supposed to be wakeful. So that is jagrat. In the jagrat state, one is wakeful and one can actually observe the world. One can get input. Either the mind is active or the senses are active. So that is one state of the consciousness in which we are wakeful. And apart from that, there is a next state which is called dreaming. That is why sleeping, dreaming state. In the dreaming state, the body may not be active at the grossly. However, the mind is active. And dream is a state in which we combine so many different things. We might have experience of different objects from our, you know, this lifetime, maybe from previous lifetime, and all these things are combined in a distorted or in a different combination. It's like one may know about mountains and one may know about gold. So in the dream, it can come as gold mountain. And sometimes the dreams can be horrible, sometimes it can be sweet. You know, Srila Prabhupada had some transcendental dreams as well, you know, where once he was telling, he was feeling hungry in the dream, and somebody was offering and giving him nice parotha. He was telling, I was eating parotha in the dream. But he said, I got up, but still I was hungry. So that is dreaming state. And apart from the dreaming and the wakeful state, there is a third one, that is sushupti. Sushupti means deep sleep. Deep sleep means no dream. So for the materialistic people, that is kind of the luxury, to have a deep sleep. To have a sleep without, you know, any dream or any other disturbance. It's quite hard. So that is it is a perfection, we can say. Perfection of sleep is, you know, sushupti. That is having a deep sleep, where you don't have to know about anything. And when we say about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, He is above these 3 levels of consciousness. We have only experience of these 3 levels. Either we are wakeful, or dreaming, or deep sleep. But the Supreme Lord, He is above these 3. That is the reason Krishna has another name known as Surya. Surya means one who is above this jagrat, swapna, and sushupti. One who is above these 3 conscious states. What does that imply? If Krishna is above these 3 normal levels of our consciousness, what does that imply about Him? Sorry?
It's transcendental.
Yes, He is transcendental. He is transcendental meaning? Exactly. We cannot understand by our material consciousness, in which we can experience all these three things, wakefulness, dreaming, or you know, deep sleep, that we can experience. But Krishna, we cannot experience directly with the material consciousness. Now we see, if Krishna, if we have presented Krishna as, how can we experience Krishna? If he is above, if he is transcendental to all these three conscious states. So Krishna is merciful. That is the reason he appeared as the Aptavigraha, the deity form. So the Supreme Lord, he is appearing as the deity form. Deity form, even though it is composed of the material elements, it can be metal, it can be wood, it can be earth, and even it can be mind. Aptavigraha can be of mind for the yogi. However, even if it is made of this material element, apparently, when the Aptavigraha is installed, when the murti when it is installed, according to the instructions of Acharya, the material elements are transformed to spiritual elements. So, the Supreme Lord is, in the deity form, is Satchidananda Vigraha. He is not material, he is completely spiritual. Proof of that is that if we pray to the Supreme Lord in the deity form, he can reciprocate. Everyone has got that experience. Not only that, he is there to accept our worship, he is there to accept our services. So the whole purpose of having the deity form of the Lord is that he is ready to accept our service. And all the activities in the temple are centered around the deity. If we consider all prasadam, if we are getting, all are centered around the deity. Preaching activities centered around the deity. Darshan, festivals, if we take anything, everything is centered around the deity form of the Lord. So they are the actual proprietor. Sri Radhavallabha, Gaurav Tash, Jagannath Brother Sundar, they are the actual proprietor of the whole temple and of the whole mission happening around here. It was very interesting. One time, a hearing from Kurma Prabhu, and they were talking, Kurma Prabhu and Prana Prabhu. So they were telling how the Supreme Lord, in the form of the deity, they are not changing. They were explaining, you know, over the years they have, you know, they have gone through in Krishna consciousness for many, many years, few decades. Now, everything that is, you know, in our life, most of the things have changed. You know, their family situation, or, you know, the job voice, or, you know, their body, everything is changed. But when they come in front of here, in front of Sri Sri Radha Vallabh, you're telling how the deity is in the same form. They are struggling the same way. So they are living the same. And Krishna is, you know, he is Navayavanamcha. You can actually see that when we come in front of the deity, and over the years they were sharing the realization that they have passed so many years, now when we look at the deity, they are still the same. Still sweet, you know, Navayavanam, you know, freshly used all the time. And when we look at the deities, actually it is said we have to start looking at the deities from darshan, we have to take from the feet. And then gradually go to the thighs, to the waist, to the chest, and then finally to the lotus face. So that is the way when we are, as we are servants, we are in the mood of servant, we are das or dasi. In that mood, when we see the Supreme Lord, we have to see right from the lotus feet. Because lotus feet, by looking at the lotus feet, it shows our humility. By looking at the lotus feet, shows the humility, and lotus feet is a representation of the shelter of the Supreme Lord. So we take shelter of the lotus feet first, and then gradually move up. But we see in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti Devi, when Kunti Devi looks at the Krishna, where she looks first? At his navi, at his navel. So she says, Namo Pankajanabhaya, Namo Pankajamarine, Namo Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajanathriya. So she goes right from the navel to his flower garment, to his lotus face, and then coming back to the Ankhi, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Because Kunti Devi, she has parental, she is auntie of Krishna, so she has parental, motherly relationship with Krishna. So Prabhupada explained, due to that relationship, she just looks at the navel first, not, you know, to the bottom, because Krishna might feel shy. So, you know, according to one's relationship, they are looking at Krishna in different ways. It is said, even when Krishna and Balaram entered the wrestling arena in Mathura, how each and every different personality, they had different relationship with Krishna. Their reciprocation was completely different. For instance, for the wrestlers, he was like the thunderbolt, you know, the thunder hitting them. For the, like, you know, Chanurya and Mushtika, they were big fighters, and Krishna is a young boy. Still, for them, Krishna appeared like the thunder hitting them. And for his relatives, he was like, you know, my own man. I mean, he's my own friend. He's coming. And for the gopis, Krishna is like the best of the Cupid. He's the perfection of Cupid coming in front of us. And for the elderly people, he was like a child. And for the, you know, miscreant, he was the punish, the weapon which is going to punish. And for the Yadu, he was Paradevata. He was the most worshipable Supreme Lord. And for the ignorant people, he was like, you know, Viradru. Viradru is, you know, all devouring, it has all the material manifestation in it. So, same personality, Krishna is present, but for different people, he was appearing in different ways. And they were exchanging different rasas. Krishna was exchanging different rasas with different people. So this is the beauty. Even though Krishna is a single person, everyone has got unique relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is said in one of the purports in Isha Upanishad that everyone has an individual, a particular capacity to serve the Supreme Lord. A unique feature. Everyone. All the jivas. You, everyone. Everyone has got a unique feature. And the perfection means utilizing that in service of Krishna. So everyone is capable of serving Krishna. Everyone has got a unique feature. And devotion service ultimately means perfectly utilizing that feature in service of Krishna. That is devotion service. And if you see, if you notice our activities in Krishna consciousness, it is pretty much the same activities we repeat. There is a lot of repetition in Krishna consciousness. We chant the same mantra. You know, it's not that we are inventing any new, you know, we are, you know, coming up with new mantras. No, we just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra repeatedly, you know, 16 rounds, you know, every day, the same. When we hear, we see the same deities every day. We sing the same songs pretty much. You know, Jai Radha Madhava, you know, 7 o'clock songs, it's all the same. And we read the same book again and again. If you see Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or other small books, we read the same books again and again. But each time, and the service is pretty much, you know, we have a fixed service most of the time. So we do the similar kind of service again and again. But when we take anything on a particular day, we get a different experience. When you read Bhagavad Gita, we get a new realization. When you see the deity, it's a fresh experience. It is really speaking, it is very hard to understand how, irrespective of repetition, we are not getting bored with that. Actually speaking, we are not getting bored. You know, 7 o'clock if we hear, you know, Vedam, Kananda, Maravanda, Dalaya, Raksham. Actually, you know, it is a new experience. And when the curtain opens, when you see Gauranga, Radha, Vallabh, you know, it's a new experience every day. How it is possible? Because Super Soul, sitting within our heart, gives that freshness. For the devotee, Super Soul reciprocates him by giving freshness in devotional service. So he gives that taste every day to do the devotional service, to take darshan, to chant Hare Krishna. So due to this, we feel, you know, enthused. We feel that freshness to see the Supreme Lord. But however, in a materialistic world, it is completely inconceivable. How many times can we see a movie? Maybe 2, 3, 4, 5. After that, not possible. And see the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. You know, whatever whatever I have spoken today, you might have heard so many times. If you speak about any pastime, say Brahma Vimohana Leela or Leela with Indra, Krishna and Cowherd Boys, any pastime you say, we have read it, we have heard so many times. But still, when we hear, the next time, we get that freshness. We get some taste. We enjoy that. This is the beauty of devotional service. Because the super soul, reciprocate, Krishna actually, super soul and Krishna are no different for the devotee. So, Krishna reciprocates in a way that we get the taste. And another point here, it was different kinds of super soul. Actually, in the whole material creation, okay, first point regarding the super soul. Super soul is a manifestation of Krishna in the material world. And there are three super souls. One is the super soul of the entire creation. That is Mahavishnu. Or Karma Prakashai Vishnu. He is the first super soul. Because he gives life to the entire cosmic creation. And from there is the next level of super soul, that is called Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He is the super soul of a particular universe. Because he is giving life to Brahma and he is giving life to that particular universe. And ultimately, there is Shiradakshaya Vishnu, who is situated in our heart as super soul. So without super soul, the soul cannot exist. Just like without the soul, the body cannot exist in its own. In the same way, the soul has no existence without the super soul. The super soul is soul of the soul. So that is the position. Okay, here there is a nice description about different incarnations. That is how the Supreme Lord appears in different incarnations. The explanation given is like Lord Chandrasekhar, Nakshama, etc. So the incarnations of the Supreme Lord are just like waves in the ocean. So there are innumerable incarnations of the Supreme Lord. When we make the statement, usually there is a problem. The problem is that, especially in India, there are so many people claim to be incarnations. And they often quote this verse. They say, how can you know or how can you say that this personality is not an incarnation? Because Bhagavad Gita says there are innumerable number of incarnations. Just like you cannot count the number of waves in an ocean. In the same way, look at the incarnation. So he can be an incarnation. So this is the kind of argument they put forth. Most of the time, I have seen many times. But the question is, if there are incarnations for this age, it is very specifically and very clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literature. It is like there has to be some mission for an incarnation. What are his bodily features? You know, who will be his mother, who will or father, where will he appear? All these things are very clearly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not a sporadic or a random happening. No. It is very clear. It is very clearly mentioned. So, the purpose of this incarnation are ultimately to attract the attention of all the living entities and especially the human beings. It is said, in presence of incarnation, so if we consider the super excellent pastimes of the Supreme Lord, it is on a much, much higher level. It is on a much higher transcendental platform. It is on a much higher attractive platform compared to the material activities. Brahma Samhita says it is Leelayatena Bhuvanani Jagati Adhastram. Meaning, the nature of the Supreme Lord pastime, he can just shadow the whole material creation just with his pastime. In the sense, it is so attractive that the material activities become completely insignificant. In that way, he attracts all the human beings towards him. It's like when Krishna appeared, the Krishna's activities were, it was just like human-like activities. Even though he appeared just like human being, he was not human. And his activities were super excellent. So simultaneously he narrated both sides. In one sense he looked like human, so that the human beings can get attracted. And on the other side, he showed that he is not a human being. So it was simultaneous all the time. So he could lift gods and hills. He could, you know, he was dancing with gopis. So one cannot imitate one without the other. And it is so difficult to understand the leelas of the Supreme Lord. Even Lord Brahma says, it is Brahma, after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, he got bewildered. Lord Brahma says, you know, I can't really understand what you're doing. I cannot understand what is your pastime. He says, Koveti Bhuman, Bhagavan Paratma, Yogeshiroti, Bhavada Trilokyam, Kava, Kadamva, Kadiva, Kadevi, Vistare, Sridati Yogamaya. He says, Koveti Bhuman, O Supreme Lord, who knows your pastimes? How can I understand your pastime? Bhagavan Paratma, you are the Supreme Lord, you are the Super Source. Yogeshwarati, you are the Yogeshwara, you are the object of yoga and you are the Supreme Yogi. Bhavata Trilokya, your pastime in this three worlds. I cannot understand. He says, Kava, how you are performing this pastime, I cannot understand. And how many times you perform, I can't understand. When you perform this pastime, I can't understand. This is Brahma in front of the Supreme Lord, he's saying. You know, he got bewildered completely by the Brahma Vimohana Leela, you know. And after that he's standing or he's paying obeisances, and after that he's glorifying the Supreme Lord, and then he says, I can't understand any of these things. And he says, how actually the Supreme Lord performs his pastime? By expanding himself by his Yogamaya potency. Vistarayan Kridati Yogamaya. So he's telling, you are just playing. Kridati, you know, literally means just playing. So you are just playing and I can't understand what's going on. However, we can actually get a glimpse of this pastime through the disciplic succession. We cannot really understand any of this pastime by our own intelligence or just by, you know, just reading a book, any of this book. Not possible. But when you approach Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita through the disciplic succession, then we really understand, we get a glimpse into the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That is a speciality of, you know, our sampradaya. In our sampradaya, all these pastimes are narrated and described. Even the acharyas like Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, you know, Sridhar Swami, all of them, they have narrated and they have described, and Srila Prabhupada has given full purpose to all these pastimes. And the last pastime actually given by Srila Prabhupada was Brahma Vimohana, the 13th chapter of 10th canto. Some other sampradaya, for instance, Madhva sampradaya in general, they don't actually discuss Brahma Vimohana Leela. Because Brahma being the founder acharya, you know, the starting of our disciplic succession, to pay him respect, you know, how can he be bewildered? They don't actually describe Brahma Vimohana Leela properly. So in our sampradaya, we get a full picture of everything. And that's how we can actually access, we can understand a bit of the Leela of the Supreme Lord. So, I hear from you, any corrections, comments or questions? Yes, okay.
Just regarding that statement, he pervades the various states of wakefulness, dreaming and unconscious deep sleep.
Yeah.
You mentioned that Krishna is above these three levels of consciousness, but how does he pervade these three?
Okay, he perverts all this because in one sense, these are the three experiences of the consciousness. So Krishna, it's only because of Krishna we are getting the ability to have all the three different states. It's only because of him. In that sense, he pervades.
So, for instance, if we are seeing, if a scientist is observing some particular mechanical motion of the universe, he sees Krishna's energy in that way. So,
he's seeing Krishna's energy because everyone can see only Krishna's energy. No one can see anything else other than Krishna's energy. So for a pure devotee, everything is Krishna, in the sense everything is Krishna's energy. For a metaphysic person, he can also only see Krishna. You know, there is an interesting statement. Everyone is searching for Krishna, in the sense one can only, you know, samam prabhatinde tam sadeva bhajamiham mama vartma anivartande manushya vartha sarvacha. So mama vartma anivartande, everyone follows my path. Everyone has to, you know, there is no other option. Everyone has to perceive Krishna directly or indirectly. There is nothing else left in this world. Either Krishna or his energy, there is nothing else in this world. So scientists are, of course, analyzing Krishna's energy, but they don't acknowledge. Then the problem arises. But if he acknowledges, then the problem is solved. Yeah.
So in other words, Krishna is there in all these three states.
These three states are also energy of Krishna. It's all manifestation of Krishna. We are getting a particular consciousness or a particular experience only by Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna, by the arrangement of Krishna. So in that sense, Krishna is pervading. As we, the Vedic state, what is that? Sarvam Khalyudam Brahman. Everything is Brahman. So we understand everything is Brahman, not say everything is Krishna, not like that. We say everything is Krishna and is energy. So we understand how everything is connected to Krishna. That's how we see Krishna in everything. Or that is the attempt one has to develop to see Krishna in everything.
And this pervading occurs because of Paramatma.
That's another interesting feature. Yeah, that's right. The pervading is, that's the reason. The maintenance aspect is taken care by a Paramatma feature or the Supreme Lord. Because Paramatma is there everywhere. And what is that? Andarantarastham cha Paramanu cheyantarastham Govinda Madhukarasham Samam Bhajami. So he is there. Paramanu, even inside the atom, outside the atom. So it's not just inside us, not only inside the living entities, but inside the atom and outside the atom, meaning he is present everywhere. So he is present, that meaning he is all pervading. So maybe gross or subtle or the subtlest, still Krishna is pervading in those. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Dandrara Bhagavatam ki.